Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and another great show planned for you today. And hope you're having a good start to this cold summer. Well, it's not like it's summer yet, but you know, after Memorial Day, we always figure that it's weather is supposed to be better. And of course, in Chicago, it was on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, it was in the 50s and actually got down into the 30s. So, you know, but, you know, we continue with the same MO of the markets and really just a whole bunch of nothing shaking out here. And, you know, I think that many of us make the mistake of believing that there is magic and there is a automatic way to, you know, make that free money. And, you know, it's so glamorous and so exciting. And we've all seen traders. And, you know, I think that the mistake that we make as human beings, and it's common. I mean, this is not, we've all made it. I mean, the Badger and I have spent, you know, I'd be embarrassed to tell you the amount of money we've spent trying to find the black box of easy trading. And there is nothing easy about it. Markets and trading and investing and working and doing are all about hard work. But more importantly, they are about the discipline and the money management that allows you to continue to play the game to become that superstar. You know, superstars, all-star traders are not all-star traders because they are better at picking a stock or whatever, or an option or a future. They are better because they have better discipline. They are better because they understand what it takes to be successful. As you know, often I compare trading to many of the games that we like to play, poker, backgammon, bridge, gin. You know, you can be the better player, but just because you're the better player does not assure you of victory. What assures you of victory is to stay alive when things are not going properly. Okay, so you can have all the inside information you want. And I often go back to, And nothing should be more resounding. Oh, right. You know, that's true. I should think about that before I believe the next schmuck that tells me that they can give me the secret of life. Because there is no secret of life that we have to focus on. It's about understanding and working and putting together the best chance to be successful, knowing that mathematically you will continue to play the laws of large numbers. Okay. So, you know, when the next time someone tells you, well, I've got the secret formula, there is none. Because if there was, there'd be no markets. If there was, we'd all be sitting home in our jockey shorts, just stealing all the money out of the market. So trading and investing come down to the ability to limit down the losses when they're bad and having capital or inventory left to play when the markets are in your favor. And we talk about that very often here on the Bubba Show, on my group webinars, on everything that I do. I talk about making sure that you have money, capital, to invest when the setups come in properly. Because even though you will see a perfect setup, that does not assure you of a perfect trade. If you think that you are going to make that trade and it's going to be a winner every time, you need to think again. There is not a guarantee, no matter how perfect. And I guess I kind of lost my train of thought for a minute, but the best example that I like to share is always Martha Stewart. Now, Martha Stewart, her best friend or whatever, was the chairman and owner of M-Clone. Now, this goes back. And Martha Stewart went to jail for this. She thought that because she was with the owner, CEO, boss, and she had the inside information, that she would sell out of her position, which she did, and she sold it out at the lows. But it was inside trading, and she gave up 3 years of her life and all the legal fees for the inside information, which didn't even work, okay, which was wrong. So, you know, if you think that it's going to be easy, then you're wrong. That's it. I mean, you know, unless you're Warren Buffett, okay, or Bill Gates, or, you know, somebody like that, that has unlimited funds that you can let markets go against you, because, you know, we all talk about what a genius Warren Buffett is. Now, don't get me wrong. As we all know, I'm not a big fan, but I cannot take away from his knowledge or his ability to be the investor that he is. And he certainly built an unbelievable company or companies and business. But, you know, he lost 60% or 50% of his net worth in the collapse. When he bought Goldman Sachs at 120, you know, how many of you can hold a stock that goes from 120 to 40 and not be worried? You know, Warren Buffett bought First Solar when it was 50 and it went to 19. Okay. So my point simply is this, that if you have the money to hold, then that information means anything. But it doesn't, just because you know something doesn't guarantee success. I've heard people tell me that, you know, they know services that know what the institutions are doing. I know what the institutions are doing too, but it doesn't mean they're going to be right. You know, when you're a floor trader, which I was, you've realized that they're not always right. Okay. They may be right over time and they may be proven right, but, you know, you and me don't have the capital to sit back and wait for that extended period for them to be right. Okay. That's what it's all about. So when you hear and see all of these great advertisements that are either preying on your emotion of fear or your emotion of greed, and then that's what they're designed to do, then what you're going to see is that, oh, really? It didn't work that way. It doesn't, because it doesn't work that way. That's why we don't try to push the fear or the greed button on the Bubba Show and with the Bubba Report and with subsequent products that we'll be offering. We put on the reality button. We are trying to make it so you can become strictly a mathematical trader, a probability investor, instead of somebody who thinks that there's going to be something for free, because there isn't. And it is June. We do have the new Bubba Report out and ready to go. Would love to see you get signed up for it. It is, I think, one of the best products out there for $99 a year. I can't tell you I can find a better value for you. I would check it out. Go to thebubbashow.org and look at it. Check it out. And we're going to step out of here for a break and be right back. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, every Tuesday, I do BNN from Canada. I do obviously do it from Chicago, but I am a guest on BNN and one of the few guests that's allowed on every week. They typically have a 2 week in between role, but I get to do the close with them. And of course, last Tuesday, markets were under a little bit of under siege, some pressure. But I always like to share, you know, some of the things that I said so you can kind of see how they played out during the time. So let's go back to last Tuesday with Mark Hainsworth, myself on BNN, the close, which is this is right after the bell. So let's go back and check out what we had to say.
Market sell-off, not a surprise. Let's take you to the trading floor in Chicago to speak with Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. From the Memorial Day long weekend, I hope you've recovered.
It's great to be here, Michael. And, you know, we cooked a lot of stuff and a lot of cookouts in the rain, so it was all great.
Tell me about why the bears came out today en masse. Is this just the fear that the cheap money ride's coming to an end?
You know, I don't think so, Michael. I think we've seen this movie play over and over again, right? I'm very bearish, so again, I'm not really thrilled with the action. We've seen the markets make new highs, and then you get a little bit of a sell-off. I mean, a 1% sell-off is not a very big deal. You know, I would say even a 5% sell-off. I think you got to watch 2058 in the S&P cash, the one that closed at 2104 today. That's the key number. If we don't get below there, this market is still going to inch its way higher. I don't think the Fed can nor will they raise rates anytime soon. If you're looking at the bond market right now, we saw a dramatic drop in the 10-year and in the 30-year futures, dropping yields, you know, the 30 back below 3 and the 10-year now down to 2.13. You know, they have no way to raise rates. They have strictly painted themselves back into a corner that is not going to allow them. You can see what's going on throughout the globe. We saw what happened with the dollar today because finally the euro decided that after that nice rally, that pop they had from 104 up to 114, that was enough. And of course, everybody's doing their best to manipulate their currency to bring value down. And of course, when that happens, people are going to run where? To the U.S. because the U.S., no matter what problems we have, we are still the strongest economy going.
Well, tell me about the U.S. dollar itself and the strength that we've been seeing lately. I thought this thing was rolling over.
You know, it looked like it, and we came down to a really crucial level from a charting standpoint. If you look at the 93.94 on the dollar index, once we held there, we curved around and we're running right back up again. Remember, one of the things that makes the dollar index so strong and makes what's going on is because the rest of the world is trying to push down their currencies by doing their own intervention and their own manipulation. So every time they manipulate, it makes our currency more valuable to them, and they do the old rollover, sell this money, buy this money, and make the trade. So at the end, what we're really seeing is the default strengthen the U.S. dollar. We're seeing the default U.S. interest rates, although they fell today, are actually higher against the rest of the world.
I want to talk about Time Warner Cable, that deal with Charter Communications. You're figuring investors really ought to take the Steve Miller approach, take the money and run.
Yeah, 100%. Take the money and run. Get out, take the money, because there's going to be more stuff going on here. There's a better chance the deal falls apart. There's a better chance the government gets involved. Take that big money. It's finally your chance to get out of that albatross and take the cash and move on. That's what I think. You move on and get away from everybody.
So you don't think this deal is going to get done? The Feds put the kibosh on the last time we tried to see a mega merger in this space, but there seems to be a lot more going on here that suggests that the horse trading will allow this to happen.
You know, I think it probably can get done, but you know what? They're giving you such a premium up here. I just think that there's many better places that you want to put your money, even if you want to put it in your mattress. There's more likelihood that there could be a problem down the road. Is there a problem? Does the Fed step in again? Do they say something different? There's too many reasons to just say, you know what, let me take this money and put it somewhere else where it can actually work for me, and I don't have to worry about what the government may or may not do. Is this going to be a monopoly? Is this going to be a problem? There's always too many issues in these communication deals where they start to take over the world.
All right, so where do you put the money?
I think right now I'm looking at the money. Listen, I still like the oil space. I really like gold down here now. Remember, we've been watching gold between 1180 and 1220. I love buying the 1180 level. I think eventually we will chisel our way through that 1220 level up at the top. I still like oil. I'd like to see it come back down to 55 before I'd get in there. And I believe it or not, I like a lot in the agricultural space here right now, too. I think that because of the overall strength in the U.S. dollar, I think they've really punished the grain markets here. I think those are a pretty good trade. So a lot of the alternative spaces is where I'm looking to go in. I think you want to look at some of the MLPs now. I think they're becoming of value again because of the large dividends they pay and the low rates we can get in right now. So there's a lot of things I'd rather be in than the actual straight equity market, because I certainly believe we're still in a bubble and we're going a lot lower eventually.
When it comes to gold, you don't think there's more downside than up in the near term? We've already broken through some key support levels. Next level of support appears to be 1144.
I like 1180. I think we held there today. I don't believe we're going much lower. If we would go to 1144, okay, so what? The bottom line is, if I'm buying gold, I'm not buying it to sell it tomorrow. I'm buying it as a hard asset that I'm going to hold for a much longer period of time. So even if it goes 1144, I think the odds and probabilities favor 1300 or 1400 before we break, 1100. Okay. So again, I'm looking at the math on it, and I want to own gold anyways. I think at 1180 is a very solid buy. I don't think we'll take out the year low. I think there's a much better chance we start to make a bottom and we start to work our way back up. And I say 1220, if we can get through 1220, you can see 1250, then maybe 1300. But again, eventually I see gold working its way back up over time and increasing and appreciating much faster than anything else from here.
Wouldn't be a Tuesday without Bubba. Todd, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a great day.
You too. Todd Horowitz is the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. He's in Chicago.
So, I mean, and there you go. So there's the views that I put out. And, of course, that goes back to kind of what we talked about in the opening today is, I'm looking for mathematical probability models in areas versus trying to be something that, we're never going to find. And this is important. When you look at the entire market structure, and again, it doesn't matter what market you're looking at, because it's always about entry and exit. Okay. The thing we have to think about, the thing you have to understand, the thing you want to understand is you're going to make your money most of the time on your entry, because that will, if you're doing a good job with the entry, you're typically right quickly and it moves in your favor. Whereas if you're trying to always guess the right entry, you won't. So when I say 1180 in gold, yeah, it could go lower and I may be wrong, but I believe that, 2 weeks ago, whenever he was buying up at 1220, and I kept saying, no, this is not a buy spot. It may break out and then I'll find an opportunity. But for now, it went too far. The probability favors at best it holding here, and at worst going back down to the 1180. And again, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm always right, because I'm not. But what I think you have to realize when you look for things and you look for value, I mean, this goes back to, we talked a little about Buffett, and again, we know my personal feelings, but he looks for value. So when he buys, he buys what he thinks is the right time and the right value. He's not always right. I'm not always right. Nobody's always right. But if you continue to try to make the value play, then you have a much greater chance. It's like back last summer when we wanted to sell crude oil. If you remember, on these airways, we kept saying crude to sell at 100. And people laughed and they, oh no, it's never going down. And of course, we said that it's a better chance. Now, again, it wasn't that we know more than anybody else, but when you try to take the model down into a probability model, okay, you then find that you make decisions not based on emotion, but based on facts and figures. And that is what we want to always be in a position to, is to make our decision based on just pure information, not trying to interpret what the Fed is going to do by fancy numbers and what their thing is, not trying to do anything but say, okay, here's the level that I've been waiting for. This is either a resistance level in which I want to sell, or this is a support level in which I want to buy. I see that. I understand it. That's where I'm at. Let me get in at this point. Now, again, using the proper defensive mechanism that goes along with entry, then it doesn't matter, because if you're wrong, you'll take your small loss and you will move on. If you are right, you will ring the bell and get paid. And after all, isn't that what you're here for? You're here, you're in the markets to get paid. So anyways, we're going to step out of here for a break and remind you that the new Bubba Report is out. My proprietary indexes, which will help you and give you some great insight. But we will step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
He's so Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and joining me now, one of my friends, one of the guys I couldn't find, but I finally found him and I got him on as a regular, my man Jim Iorio from TGM Securities and a regular contributor to CNBC. You can see him out all the time on CNBC telling everybody what's going to happen next. So, Jim Iorio, welcome aboard, and what's going to happen next?
Oh, I was going to ask you. No, just kidding. Here's what's going to happen next. The stock market's in this big range that we put in all year long, right? And over the last couple of days, we've probed the highs, and we found out we didn't really have any particular catalyst to drive us out of this. So now we're going to head back lower again. Here's the thing that worries, I think, the stock market the most, is that obviously over the last 3 months, bad economic news is equal good news for the stock market because it believed that the Fed would push back tightenings. Well, after the last couple of weeks, we saw a CPI number that if you kind of squint a little bit, it looked like there was a hair of inflation. And then we saw that San Francisco Fed paper, which talked about how we might not be seeing this real strength of the economy in the data that's available to us. So to me, that sounds like the Fed really wants to tighten, and they're willing to do it in a less than perfect economic environment. We certainly are in a less than perfect environment. And then Friday, we see that the GDP number comes out, and embedded in that is that corporate profits part of it, which was down 8.7%. That is a big drop in corporate profits. And you can blame it on the strength of the dollar, you can blame it on whatever. But that number, I don't think the stock market's going to do its usual pattern of bad news equals good news when the number itself is so directly related to the actual companies in the stock market. I mean, you can't really make that logical jump and buy the stocks after that. So I think we head lower now. I don't think it's anything particularly catastrophic, but I think we head lower. We lose a few percentage points and try to gather some steam at the bottom.
Well, I mean, you know, it's really been, you know, if you look at a couple of the bigger sell-offs over the last, you know, let's say 6 or 7 months, which is really about as long as you've been in this range. You know, October we had, you know, about 4 or 5 or 6%, and then December, and basically we've always rallied. And I'm sure that, you know, with the cheap money environment that we still have, that there's still going to be dip buyers coming in. I mean, you know, the economic data, as you said, is no worse than it really was. And of course, you know, but maybe it's turning over from bad news is not. Maybe bad news is going to be really bad news. You know, I look around, Jim, and I see a whole bunch of stuff going on. Now, you've been down there for a long time. And one of the things that really puzzles me is the action in the bond markets lately. And I'm talking about the volatility. You've been down there for 20 years, right?
28, right? Yeah.
When did you ever think you could see volatility in the bond futures like you're seeing in today's markets?
Well, Okay, it's amazing. And what we saw, remember where the situation began a couple of weeks ago in the bond market when the German 10-year went just about 0%, and this unbelievable, meteoric rise in prices of German bunds for years. I mean, everybody's flocking to them. So when it turns and when it corrects, we have to expect it to be fairly ferocious, right? And it certainly was. So it's the whole point of when you drive everybody into a trade, it always ends the same way. You drive everybody into a trade regardless of what the trade is. It could be tech stocks in 2000. It can be housing in 2005. It can be bonds now. It can be stocks now. When you drive everybody into a trade, you take away all their other available options, it always ends badly. And this will certainly end badly. I don't think it's ending badly yet, because I think that before – first of all, the bond market, the leverage that happens in the bond market is not the mom and pop kind of leverage that scares me the most when it comes in. But the stock market will get to that point, and the Fed will fight it. That's why I don't think that we're going to fall out of bed right now, because I think the Fed's still got our back, and they still get nervous when asset prices, i.e. stock market, start to decline rapidly. And so far we haven't seen that yet, but they'll be back in. But you know what the takeaway of this whole thing, Todd, and you know it and I know it, is that this monetary stimulus doesn't do a thing, or maybe that doesn't do a thing, but doesn't do nearly enough. Without any fiscal solutions, we will still have a lackluster economy, or in the Fed's eye, a less than perfect economic environment, and it's not going to change.
Well, I mean, look, I don't. First of all, I will go on record with you, and I'll say that I think the Fed did a shitty job anyway. So I think they did a horrible job with this whole process, and they missed every opportunity to really raise rates, and now they're backed into a corner, leveraged at 75-1 on their balance sheet, a number at which they let Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers go broke with much worse, but what's less risk. But of course, they're the Fed, and they can print all the money they need. So I think they've done a horrible job overall, and they've done nothing but help the rich, and they really stuck it to the middle class. That's my opinion. What do you think?
You know what? Just before I got on the phone, we were talking about what happens when you keep rates at ridiculously low. So you take away everybody's availability for a safe investment and force everybody further and further out on the risk curve. And of that, there's some winners and losers, but the winners are tremendously successful winning in this environment. So you get the rich are just getting richer and richer. And you and I, guys who have things, properties and real estate investment stocks, we do well because the Fed pushes money to us. But that the middle class and the lower class gets crushed by the Fed. And now the Fed has said before, by the way, that they keep rates low to make up for some fiscal shortcomings, meaning regulation, overtaxation of corporates. So my logical leap is regulations and overtaxation of the corporations in this country keeps the Fed at zero rates, keeps this unbelievable inequality barbelling of the U.S. financial situation that's been going on. Barbell's the one with the weights on either end, right? I used the right word, didn't I? But you know what I mean. Yeah.
I'd never use a barbell, so I wouldn't know. Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, right?
The one I've never done. Yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in right now. The mistakes are being made on a daily basis. And I don't want to be the guy to sound – I'm not Peter Schiff sounding like the sky is falling all the time, because I do think there is a small possibility that we could right the ship, but it doesn't look like we will.
Okay, I'm going to – okay. I disagree with that part, okay? But again, I'm not –
Which part? That there's a possibility that they right
that
the ship?
That they can right the ship. I'm not saying the ship might not possibly –
They can right the ship by getting out of the way.
Okay.
What I mean.
All right. Okay, again, that I'll live with. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what your opinion is of the job they've done, but I thought it was pretty piss poor. I mean, again, I said it all the time.
I think their hands are tied. I have a little bit of sympathy for them, but I agree that they're not the greatest prognosticators of the market. They're actually slightly below average. There was opportunities for them to get out and let rates start to normalize, and they didn't take it. Yeah, I agree with you on all the things you're saying. I just feel sorry because what they were given was not a great situation, and they tried the best they could. Yeah, but I'm not – their intent was fine. Yes, they might be somewhat incompetent. I agree with you completely.
Well, I'm gonna throw something out there, and if you don't want to discuss it, you can say no. But I don't think they were competent. I think they're incompetent, and I think that the whole time – now, there's one situation – which I still haven't been at my mind. I mean, I go over this all the time. I mean, people that I'm from my end, they get sick of me saying the same thing, but I like to get different people's opinion. You know, if you and I, if you have a bad month on the floor, Jim, and you're going broke, okay, you're not too big to fail. The Fed ain't bailing you out. Right? You're down. Okay. You're you and your family and whoever you're supporting. Goodbye. Good luck. Thank you so much for playing the game. Okay.
Right.
Now, in 2008, they bailed out the banks. Now, I still really have not come to a full conclusion on whether or not I think it was the right thing to do or not. Now, some guys have said yes. Some have said no. I don't really care. They did it. It's over. That's fine. But again, a lot of the banks that they bailed out didn't need the money. They were forced to take it to create the panic, right?
Yeah.
So now, 6 years later, they are still overloading the banks with money.
Makes zero sense.
And they've never once decided, and they day trade the equity market because Ben Bernanke, and it was a 12 or 13, I think it was 13, May of 13, when he said he was going to raise rates, and then, of course, we had the famous taper tantrum, right?
Yep.
And then, of course, all these jackass Fed governors start coming out and saying, well, we're not going to raise rates, and we're not going to do this. And it's like they're planned henchmen, okay?
Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning that they are so, like you said, day trading the stock market. They're so linked in with that particular asset price that they don't want to look bad in any sort of big stock market decline. It is exactly the kind of attitude that will lead us in trouble. So, yeah, you're making a great argument for incompetence. I do think, I guess when I say I feel sorry for them is that when everything was on the brink in 08, whenever it was, I mean, the Fed with cheap money prior to that, the federal government with policies like, you know, creation of Fannie and Freddie who were buying up all these things. My point is that the government walked the banks to the brink. I think it would have been an awful time to say, oh, you know what, now we're not going to help you, because they were complicit in the problem. As a rule, I don't think the Fed should ever be bailing out banks. But bailing them out, yeah, to your point, bailing them out over the last 6 years, it's ludicrous. They're making the rich richer, making the banks richer. It's ridiculous.
And they're screwing you and me. You got time for another one? You got to jump. I know you're busy.
Sure, no, I got a little more time. Let's go. I'm having fun.
I know, good. So, I mean, so we're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back with Jim Iorio, who is first of all, I misspelled his name last time, so I want to apologize on air. But anyways, Jim is a frequent contributor to CNBC, and you can catch him. And I tell you what, you guys will get a kick out of what he says, because you know what? One thing about Jim is he kind of spits it out, and he gets a little angry, and you can see what if he's really making a point, he really works over. He's also TGM Securities. Make sure you check him out. This is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break, The Bubba Show. But before we go to break, I do want to remind everybody that the new Bubba Report has hit the newsstands, okay? Actually, it's hit thebubbashow.org, which is our newsstand. And I just got to tell you, for $99 a year, you are getting an incredible value. You are getting to hear the personal thoughts of guys like Scott Schillady from the CME, Keith Bliss from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, the Badger, Bonnie Pittenger on real estate, Mike Brown on financial planning and understanding where you're at, myself, and many others, where we lay it out for you and you get to see my own proprietary indexes, which I've built using different combinations because I can do that. You got to check it out at thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be right back after the break with Jim Iorio. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with my friend Jim Iorio from TJM Securities, but more importantly, a frequent or a regular contributor on CNBC, and again, does a great job on CNBC. I do get a kick out of watching you. I get to see you, and I think you're a lot of fun, and I do like how you get emotional and kind of get into it, so that's pretty cool.
That's getting emotional, I think.
Well, you know, so I'm going to ask you. So, you know, we talked, and you and I have had this slight, not a battle, but you and I have had this discussion back and forth about the economy and what's going on, and so last we talked, I think it was around the holidays, you know, in between, we talked about your restaurant, okay? Mm-hmm. And you said the rest of business was good. How is business today compared, and what are you thinking?
Business is actually great. I think it's a confluence of events. One, I think we have a good product, but let's put that aside. We serve good hamburgers. But the reality of it is, and I actually poll people at the restaurant because they know I'm into this kind of stuff, have gas prices coming down significantly affected the way they behave? And I think the answer to that, I think restaurants are doing pretty well. So I think that if you get a few extra bucks in your pocket, a normal first stop with that money is to maybe take your girlfriend out for a burger and a beer, or, you know, or something better than that. I mean, I'm probably less classy than some, but I think that that's one of the reasons. And I'm glad of that. And I'm hoping, okay, most economists will tell you that after gas prices have a big implosion like they did, it's usually 6 to 8 months before a consumer starts to really change their behavior. Now, all we've seen so far is consumer spending go up and spending at restaurants go up a little. I mean, consumer savings is what I'm going to say. Consumer savings has gone up and consumer spending hasn't really budged yet. I'm still hoping that those gas prices will make consumer spending start to pick up considerably in the second half, because, and I'm basing that on the fact that what people have been through over the last 8-9 years is dissimilar to anything we've been through before. It was terrifying when people realized they had borrowed too much money on homes and everything imploded. It leaves a mark. So to think that it takes 10 months for people to start spending the money they're saving on gas, I think is fairly reasonable. 12 months, fairly reasonable.
Okay, not to be negative and not to be the other side of the coin, but, you know, okay, that's just my nature. And, you know,
I like it.
You know, that's what makes a trade. But yeah. So, you know, the gas prices, they were down for maybe a month or so. And of course, they're already back going up, sticking it up. Everybody's, you know what, again, once again here. and I'm still of the contention now, you know, maybe your restaurant. Again, listen, I go out to restaurants. I don't go out often because, you know, I don't like it. And, you know, I think that they're overpriced and, you know, at certain points. And, you know, again, I'm kind of on strike. And besides, I work too much. So, but,
yeah.
You know, when I look at it, I look around my neighborhood, Jim. You know, I live in Deerfield. I mean, you know, fairly affluent society, you know, number one high school in the state, or it used to be, now maybe number three, whatever it is. And, you know, mostly two professionals, families, you know, doctor, lawyer, doctor, doctor, lawyer, lawyer, you know. So, and you know what? Not such a great environment around here. You know, people aren't, you know, running out splurging and spending, and you can see it all the way down to the kids. Now, nobody ever cuts off on their kids if they can help it. And you can see it in the Deerfield Baseball Association. Their membership is significantly down for the first time ever. So, you know, all the savings.
I have an answer for all this.
Okay.
I think that it's more regional than you think. I think the state of Illinois, with the property taxes they're inflicting on us, with sales taxes, with all them trying to claw back the money they've wasted in this state, our county, Deerfield's Cook County, I assume, too, they're crushing people in Illinois. I think the rest of the country is doing better than we're doing in Illinois. I mean, my taxes on my home in Illinois, compared to, and I hate saying that I have a house in Colorado because I'm not trying to act like a big shit or anything, but I've been fortunate in my career. My house in Colorado is similar cost to my house in Illinois. The real estate taxes on my house in Illinois are $15,000 to $16,000. The same value home in Colorado, the real estate taxes are $1,900 per year. I think that they are absolutely sitting on us in this state, and I think it's going to backfire on them too.
That I do not disagree with. That I would, you know, listen, my taxes are higher. I live in Lake County, so
right.
So I get it, and I get that part, and I think that's a problem. And I agree with that's a problem. But again, you know, a lot of people aren't working, Jim. I mean, you know, we see these numbers and everybody wants us to believe how good the jobs number are. So I'll ask you, I've never asked you this. What is your opinion of what the jobs numbers have been?
I think that the quality of jobs has gone down considerably. And I think that even you can see a jobs number and see that people are working. I think that the part-time, the contractor economy, I think it's awful. I think we could do so much better, and I don't think it would even be that hard to do so much better. Like I say about my restaurant, too, when you open up a small business in the state of Illinois, and again, I'm sure this is similar around the country, particularly states that have a lot of regulation and taxation, but it smacks of them not wanting you to succeed. It's like, or they want you to cheat or something, but we don't do that. But if we could start loosening the reins on some of these corporations, things like Dodd-Frank and the banks, things like Obamacare and everybody else, and all the different government oversight on every different corporation, we could free up this economy easily and people would get jobs. Right now, people don't know. Like at our restaurant, we don't even want people to work 40 hours because we don't know if we're supposed to provide them with health care or not, because nobody understands the damn Obamacare law. And we don't want to pay lawyers to figure it out. So we're just going to be safe and keep people at 32, 33 hours a week. And we pay people very well, by the way. But the whole thing is ludicrous that companies can't operate fairly freely and expand at will. Instead, now they keep rates low, encourage M&A activity where companies buy each other and then create efficiencies where they can lay off tons of people. So it all kind of feeds into each other. Does that make sense?
I'm standing up and applauding. And, of course, a lot of this has to do. And, of course, Obama's out making his victory tour now that when you look at him and I don't know, I cannot actually believe that man can look in the mirror and actually believe what he says half the time.
Because I wonder. I don't know.
I mean, it's amazing. Now, listen, I put him in the same category as the Fed. They're not dumb people. Obviously, they're extremely bright, well-read, educated people. But none of them have any common sense, Jim. Now, you growing up in the city, you know, you went to the University of Illinois, you know, you have a little common sense. You know, I could drop you off in the middle of nowhere and you probably could find your way home, you know?
Yep.
Unfortunately, these people, I don't think I could drop them off. I don't think they could find their way home.
Well, that's why I want my daughters to work in our business, the business that we've been in a while, too, because I think it does create kind of an efficient way of thinking. Because, you know, you can't beat around the bush. People don't have time for that down here. And I think, and markets come to right conclusions of things regardless of what your opinion is. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, 100%.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's just being a market-based person, you and I both, hopefully.
But, I just think, you know, you just have to be able to, you know, one thing we know is you can't be trying to predict, you know, listen, I've tried to predict markets many times, of course, never, probably once every 5 or 6 times am I really successful at predicting, which is why I try not to predict. I talk a lot, and because I do, you know, radio and I do TV, I'll give my opinion as to what I think, but I will also say, like right now, I am very bearish the market, but I'm not acting on that aggressively right now because the markets have not really given me the hint that I can really, there's not a true footprint for me yet to really get involved in. But I do wonder and worry that, you know, when I'm in business, if I'm driving home and I break down, I know what I'm going to do. I'm either going to fix the car myself. I'm going to call the road service. And when my kids drive home, I'm not so sure they can make that same decision. And I think that's the problem. When we look at the United States, the corporation, the corporate officers that are running this corporation have missed the entire boat because they could have put everybody back to work by rebuilding this country and creating the war effect, which they did.
It wouldn't have even been very difficult to make the decisions that would have done it. But you just said something about predicting things. And think about like the pension funds that continually predict that they're going to get like 7-8% returns and continually get things like 1-1.5% returns. That's what jumped into my mind when you said people are historically bad predictors. But when you talk about the government and about people being incompetent decision makers, every big, huge corporation that outgrows itself becomes that way. And the government is no exception to it. I understand that they're not a corporation, but they've just gotten so big, people have become more and more distant. I mean, all these guys in the Fed, they've never been in a market. They've never felt what happens when a market turns on them and they're completely wrong. They've learned about it all in books.
That's right.
They need some guys who have managed positions on that thing, or else they're going to get themselves in trouble. Well, that's
Jim and I are
5 years too late.
Jim will be my vice president. This is Bubba for president. Jim Iorio, thank you so much for being on.
Why do I have to be vice president?
You can be the president. Jim Iorio, TJM Securities, and CNBC contributor. Thanks, man, for joining the Bubba Show. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bob Orch. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. It's late September and I
really should. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.